Alright. Praise the Lord. Alright. Walking in sunlight all of our journey over the mountain through the deep vale. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises. Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is a light, in Him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to His side. Now sing it. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises. Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing His praises. Gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises. Jesus is mine. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, Barbara's going to sing one for us now. And Barbara Jean, as her new name is.
He's my all and all. He's my all and all. Every day I will praise Him. On Him I only call. Oh, He's our bread when we're hungry. He's our shelter from the storm. He's the rock in a weary land, and this world can do no harm. Christ has come, and we join Him. We take His hand and closely cleave. Going to the top of the mountain, and this world we gladly leave. He's my all and all. He's my all and all. Every day I will praise Him. Yeah. On Him I only call. Yeah. For we've come into the city, that new Jerusalem on high. Soon our bodies, they will follow, where our spirit has now arrived. In a place no sin can enter, where joy, great grace abounds. We've been given complete redemption since we've heard the trumpet sound. Oh, He's my all and all. He's my all and all. Every day praise Him, on Him I only call. Every day I will praise Him, on Him I'll only call. I had this song, this chorus come to me yesterday, and I never sing this song, so I'm just going to throw this chorus in here. Maybe it's for somebody. I don't want nothing here to hinder me, for someday His blessed face I'm going to see. It makes no difference what the cost, oh how heavy my cross. I don't want nothing here to hinder me. Oh, I don't want nothing here to hinder me. For someday His blessed face I'm going to see. Oh, it makes no difference what the cost or how heavy is my cross. I don't want nothing here to hinder me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Barbara Jean. Amen. When Barbara's down having her surgery there, everyone come in and said, Barbara Jean, Barbara Jean, Barbara Jean. That day. And so she said, well, that name seemed to hang on. So we just been calling her Barbara Jean. Amen. She kind of liked that. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Amen. We'll open the book and read from it, and the book of all books, praise the Lord, the Bible, amen, as far as the written word. But Paul said, ye are living epistles, didn't he? Amen. You are the word. That's the word for the hour, see, amen, as it come forth, different generations and different times had different parts of the word. And when that time run out, then the word moved on to another part of the word, see, fulfilling the word. Just like the sun, as it passes over the earth, one part is lit up, and that's when you can see, you can walk in the light of the sun. But then, as the sun passes on over, it's lighting up another part, and you are... if you stay right where you're at, you'll stay in the dark, see, because the sun keeps on lighting up the earth. I was flying one time, I believe it was from Singapore, over somewhere in Europe, I forgot exactly, been a while. I think it's about a 14-hour flight. And when I left there, it was, I'd say, something like 9 o'clock dark there. Well, I flew 14 hours, and I believe it was, and this has been a long time, so been a few years, so I don't remember, but I believe it was about 4 in the morning or something, so we had to wait a few more hours for light. But then we were going another way, and we had the longest day because we were flying with the sun, see. And that's why the Bible says if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We just, you stay in the light of the sun. So you can get in an airplane and fly with the sun, the way the sun's going, and you could have a big long day. Amen. And that's what happened with us. We walk in the light of the Word, and it never gets dark, see. Amen. As long as you're moving with the sunlight, you'll never be in the darkness. It'll never get dark. That's naturally. But I'm not concerned about the natural darkness as much as I am the spiritual darkness. Because we need the night a lot of times to sleep, don't we? Of course, a lot of people don't know the difference. They sleep in daytime. Stay up all night and sleep in daytime. I think the young folks, that's the way they do about nowadays. They'll stay up about all night and stay in the bed all day. Well, one thing about it, I'll have to say, they didn't live in our house as you did the Joanne back in the mountain, because my daddy always went to bed about with the roosters. And once it got, once we got electric lights, maybe it might burn the lights just a bit, but we would have to hit that bed as the sun was going down, dark. And we were up early in the morning, about before we got the electric lights, we were there with the lamps and lanterns early. Mama cooked breakfast about 4 o'clock in the morning, and you had to be on your toes and ready to go. When it got light enough to plow a mule, you had to be in that field. Wasn't no laying in the bed till 2 o'clock in the evening, 3 o'clock. Amen. Like it is today, we had to be on it. And I'll tell you one thing: nobody had to tell us all that time to go to bed. Most of the time, because we was so tired we'd fall in the bed. Amen. But that's why the song says, and that we sung, walking in sunlight all of our journey, and heavenly sunlight. And so that's what the Word keeps on speaking about, walking in the light as He is in the light. See, and He is the S-U-N. On earth we got a S-O-N. Amen. But in our present condition and time, amen, I'm glad we got days and nights, because it works out real well. And one time we were on the plane flying different places. The trip was about 42 hours the way we went around different places. Amen. And I'll tell you, and I'm not a solid sleeper on the plane, especially when you're flying out in the areas of the country, third world country, we would say, in little planes that seem like they hard to get them off the ground, much less flying. And it's going one little airport to another, ministering the Word. But I like it like we are here. But we stayed on the plane so long, I was glad to see the ground again the time we got in. Amen. Now, we did change planes every little bit, each place. I think we changed five times on one. Changed planes five times, fly here, fly there, in order to get to make the connection where we need to go to get on the big plane. And when we landed, I guess, in either Europe or New York City, I believe it was 42 hours from the time we started. And you talk about a long day. You're ready to stop at that time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord's so good to us, isn't He? All right. Today, we're reading a scripture. I believe we'll just read one, start with. And this is going to be in Psalms 68 and 11. And I want to title this message today based on this scripture and a dream that I had few weeks back. And the dream I had, it was I was at a place and we just got the king has come in. The king got a new king, I guess. But the king was walking up to me, and I walked up to the king. And I said this to him. I said, I'm here to do what you would bid me, I believe, something. I'm ready to do thy bidding. And he just looked at me and says, you shall ride in my second chariot, and I want you to be keepers of my paper. Amen. And then the dream was gone. Amen. So, so I find in the Word of God a lot about the papers of the king and records and so on, but we are the Word now, basically, aren't we, in this hour? The Word of God now is living, and so when God writes about it, He writes it in terminology of real writing of the letter, like the little book that come down. But then he says, take the little book and eat it, you know. So we don't eat just paper. Amen. It's a spiritual revelation of the Word of God. And one in the Bible says, have you tasted that the Lord's gracious? The Word is gracious. And it says, we become the Word. And the Bible says the Word was made flesh. That's when Christ came. And then Paul said, we are written epistles, the Word. So those are some of the things we just want to take here and take our journey and see how God will move. So the title will be, Keepers of the King's Papers. And let's just bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come to you now, God. We come in the precious name of Jesus Christ, the only name, Lord, that we can approach you by. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll bless us today, anoint us to bring forth that you'd have for us in this day and hour that we're living in. And we just thank you for the visitation that you gave Brother Clifford to comfort his heart and the mighty things that you're doing. And, Lord, because you're making yourself known in many infallible proofs that you're right among us, and we thank you for that. So we pray you anoint us and anoint the congregation to receive. Amen. In Jesus Christ's name, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, now we are reading today a scripture that that always meant a lot to me. And this is Psalms 68:11. It says, the Lord gave the word. Now that's part that is very important. The Lord gave the word. And so that's talking about the word of the Lord, say. The Lord gave the word, and it says, great was the company of those that published it. Now the Lord gave the word, but someone else published it. I want you to notice that. The Lord didn't publish it. The only writing God did personally himself that I'm aware of is the Ten Commandments, wasn't it? Amen. And Moses broke those, so we don't have those today. Amen. Moses, when he saw what was going on, he let his anger get the better of him, I guess. And he threw them down and broke them. He went back and he had to hew out some stones. And the Lord did it again. He wrote it, but whatever happened, they went into the Ark of the Covenant and so on. And we don't ever know what happened to those. But as far as is recorded, Jesus Christ himself, God in flesh, didn't write anything that I'm aware of. I'm not even sure he could write, but he could read, but I'm not sure he could, but there was a great company followed him that could write. See? Amen. There was Matthews. He wrote some good thing. And Mark. And Luke. Luke was the one that recorded Paul's writing, see? And then he decided to, by the anointing of God, decided to do one of the four gospels, see? He weren't one of the apostles. He weren't converted, as far as we know, till way down the road from the time that Jesus was here in the flesh. So he wrote the book of Acts, and he wrote also the book of Luke, as he recorded what Paul said. I believe you'll get over there in the 12th, 13th chapter, maybe 14th, the book of Acts, where it began to say this, we sailed here, we went there, and we done this, and we done that. That's when Luke joined the team and began to write. So I'm so glad somebody wrote it, ain't you? Amen. Even though Paul himself wrote, I believe, Galatians, wasn't it? Galatians, where he said, you see how big a letter I've wrote with my own hand? His eyes, it said there, and I get this from Schofield and maybe some of the others, when he was struck down, he had maybe his eyes never did recover. And in the Middle East there was a certain disease of the eye and had trouble seeing and so on. So perhaps that was not, that this is not something that's an absolute, so I'll just leave it there. But someone did the writing for Paul. Amen. In most of the cases. And he wrote very little himself, but what he did write, it's got an impact, see. Praise the Lord. All right, so the scripture says here, the Lord gave the word. Amen. Great was the company of those that published it. Now, great here, not necessarily a great number. At times it has been. But if we publish the word and get the word out, that's great. Even though it may be on a small scale, he said, what man called great, God called foolish, and what man, what the God called great, well, vice versa, it's small, you know. Some of the things that's real small in the eyes of God is great. Just like the little song here to say this to get my back on the track here. There's a little song says, little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. It says there's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Amen. So a lot of times little is great, see. So great, a little group can be a great group. Amen. And that's the way it was. Paul usually didn't have too many people go around with him, but it was a great team, don't you? Amen. Now when we begin to look at the word, what's the word for our time period? Amen. Well, it's a spiritual word. Amen. Where the base is, the foundation that Paul laid, we build on that, see. In other words, it's a spiritual revelation, comes on what Paul preached, and that was that's what the little book is about. The little book is not a real tangible book in the sense of taking the book and open the letters, but it's the Spirit of God come down to quicken what's written. Amen. And these promises, like we which are alive and remain till the coming of the Lord. And we'll said in the dead in Christ arise first, and then we'll be changed, and so on. Those things that didn't come to pass in the days of Paul, when the church fell away, God withdrew this anointing, the revelation of the writing, to a great degree, and he sealed it up with seven seals, and it's called a little book. And it went right back to the one that gave it. Amen. Right back into heaven. And it was put within the book of redemption, which contains all from Adam all the way to at the end of the millennium. But there was a little portion of it, and we can do this. I did this in West Virginia once, I believe at Billy's and Leah's home. Preached on, he takes a little book out of the big book, you know. And I got the Bible and held up just a little bit of writing. That was Paul's writing. That was a little book what represented. Amen. And so that's what God's anointing for us. And then he takes it on from there, because Paul left in the word that we are living epistle, living word. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not going to do this morning. You might want to read it. It's a good little book that I love to read. And it's in the book of Esther. We find there that Mordecai did a good deed for the king, and there were some that was about to kill him. I don't think we'll read today, because we'll get the... Well, maybe we could read that one if you like, just a little portion there. But there was someone going to kill the king, and Mordecai found out about it, and he spared the king's life. And so the king just went on and didn't do anything for him or reward him in any way. But one night he couldn't sleep, and it was commanded, bring the king's papers, the record, and read to the king, because that would help him go off to sleep. And it just so happened they began to read about where Mordecai had saved the king's life. And the king said, now what did we do for this man that did this for me, that saved my life? And they said, well, not really anything. And then the king began to think, we need to honor this man. And of course the story goes on. That was Haman that was trying to kill, wanting to kill Mordecai, because Mordecai was a Jew, wouldn't bow down to the king, say. And he went and set in motion a bill of, what was that they call it, a scaffold or build a scaffold or something 50 feet high was going to hang Mordecai, because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him and so on. And so the king called Haman in and said, what should I do for a man that I want to honor? So Haman thought, that'll be me. So I'll fix it up. Said, put him on the royal horse there and put the royal garments on and let someone lead him through the town, because to give him glory for what he's done, to recognize him. And the king said, well said. Said, I've got a man I want you to honor. And it was Mordecai, the one that he was wanting to kill. So the table was turned on. Then that scaffold, I think the Bible calls it a little different from scaffold. What does it call it? A gallow. 50 feet high. So eventually, when it was found out the scheming of Haman, he was hanged there on that scaffold that he built for Mordecai. So we don't want to do something to get somebody in trouble. It might get us in trouble. The table be turned on us, can't it? Amen. All right. Would you like to read that? I believe we'll have time if we'll get right to it this year on the Esther. Now this is not Ezra. It's different in Ezra and Esther. Amen. Okay, Barbara, have you got a Schofield? Would you see what page that's Esther, the book of Esther. Amen. And I don't have it. If you have this type Schofield Bible, you could it tells the page and number and so on. It's on 558. Okay, well, it'll be only a couple of pages there. 558. Okay, so that's a good way of finding something when you're in a hurry. And sometimes I am, you know. We'll see just a second. Chapter, it may be, or 6 or 7. Okay, 558, you say? Okay, that's all. That'll be good. 558 will be good. Now the whole story, it would be interesting if we just read the whole story. I like this story of how things work out there. Praise the Lord. Chapter 6. Okay, yes. Okay, it would be chapter 6. Yeah, see it here. All right, here's the paper. See, the reason I'm bringing this in, showing the king's papers, all the kings had papers and made records, and sometimes when the king couldn't sleep, he would get one of the servants come read to him and kind of keep up with it. When our king has papers, and his papers are spiritual, the spiritual word of God, amen. So just to show you, just to get that part of the title, it says here, I'll start at verse 1. It says, on that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And then he says, and it was found written. I like that. It was found written. Amen. We found something written too, written in our hearts. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of this name of these two fellows here that was about to kill him. And I could probably make some type of pronouncement, but it probably wouldn't be right, so I'll let you just read it. Two of the king's chambermen, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hands on King, whatever his name is, And the king said, what honor, or here's what I want, what honor and dignity has been done to Mordecai for this deed? Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. Amen. In other words, we haven't honored him yet. Okay, this sets in motion. I'll tell you, sometime, if you can't sleep, it might not be bad to reach and get the word or something, or meditate or think. I like to use my time a lot of times if I'm not, don't sleep good, is meditating and thinking. And I got a little tape recorder right beside the bed, turn it down low, listen to a tape, and those things. But the king here, he couldn't sleep. He wanted to read some of the records, stay abreast of everything, you know, that was going on. And he found that Mordecai never was honored. Well, now that may sound small, it may look insufficient, and it may be something you could read over and just read over and not see much about. But that was the hand of God keeping the king awake first. And secondly, the very papers, that the very records that that was recorded what Mordecai had done, it was that they brought to the king. And everything, and then the king was just in a good mood. Let's honor this man. Let's do something for him. And the whole thing sets in. It's a good story if you want to read the whole book. It's interesting. Amen. How all this works out. Well, we go through all the way through the word. There was records kept, and the king's papers for us is the word of God. See, amen. Now, the king's papers tells us about the church ages and about Pentecost, the first leg of the coming, and all these things, and brings it all the way through. And the king's papers identifies the wife as being different from the brethren, say. Amen. Now, you find this, oh my, it's so good. You find this in the book of Galatians there where, and I said this to somebody, and they said, well, no, not really. That ain't really the way it was, you know, because they wanted to say the Jews and Gentiles were just all the bride. They were all the church, see. And so I began to give a few of the scriptures. Well, you just don't know what it means, see. Well, there's got to be somebody, a keepers of the paper, that knows what it means. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? But when the Word of God says that when Peter and James and John saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to Paul, as well as the gospel of the uncircumcision, or the circumcision rather, was to them, to Peter, then that's if you know how to keep the papers, that's why God had it wrote there. There have been some keepers. The Holy Spirit watched after this to get it down to where we're at. Amen. Now, I know a lot of time we hear different debates, and one man says, we'll never get this thing right until we get every Greek word and so on, and sometimes a Greek word means two or three different things, and we have to get all the Greek words just right. No, you need to get the Holy Spirit in your life, and it'll be right. Amen. Now, somebody said, well, King James didn't do good. Well, I think he did, the writers did real good. Because it wasn't just King James, that was Tyndale and Huss. Wasn't Huss that Burnett's? He was one of the first that brought it into English. And finally, the king might not have been a good king. I don't know about him. A man told me, you don't want that King James version because the king, that was a bad king. Well, he might be, but the interpreter, he commanded the interpreter to bring it into English. And I'll tell you, this King James, I don't know how many different translations, but when everything's said and done, I fall right back on this. Amen. The King James Version. Amen. Maybe a few little places in there you might find the better wording, but I tell you, the king had somebody to keep his papers. Amen. Amen. I think about old Huss there. When he was burned at the stake to get the natural word. Now, we've done come out, we're in the spiritual word here. But to get the natural word, he took time, and God saw that he was educated enough to understand wordings and so on, and took the time, and he finally, He brought most of this first. And then Tyndale. I've got a Tyndale Bible. It's real good. And then there's others. Lamps of version of the Bible. It's brought from the Greek. But when you go through all of these and see the different writings and where they kind of might not have saw the whole picture, when you get to it, God had a king that authorized about 70 scholars. And they were grouped out in different groups and went forth and interpreted it. And when they came together, they were all amazed that everything fixed pretty much up together. And that's where they... So, there's keepers of the king's papers. There's been keepers of the king's paper in the natural all the way through. There's people that died at the stake. Died, they wasn't husked, they burnt at the stake. Tyndale and different one. Just because they were keepers of the word, and there's still some persecution going with the keepers of the word. How many know that? God gave the word, and great is the company of those that publish it. Thank God it's being published today. The spiritual word of God as it brought down, put in letter form. Amen. And God is moving and sending it forth to all the world. Amen. It's amazing that I had this dream just as we are getting ready to go to the press with another book of publishing these same things that you're hearing here. And within the next couple of months or so, there'll be a new book. It'll be called The Wife, a People, Christ the Wife of People Without a Country. It means that, and it's based on the title's based on the thing where Paul said the middle wall of partition broke down. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. Amen. But we're all one in Christ. That's those that are baptized into the body become one in Christ. And nationality, excuse me here, may I wet my vocal cords. Amen. Whatever nationality you are, amen, it has nothing to do with the Christianity. It has nothing to do with the being a wife, see. Now, the gospel is going back to Israel. It's headed that way because the angels already flew into the Middle East. You'll find that in Revelation chapter 7 where the angel with the seal of God was saw ascending from the east right back into Jerusalem. And that's what's taking place now. Amen, as God's going to send a revival over there and shake that thing up. But we've got something here. We are spiritual Jerusalem. Amen. He's already come in Revelation chapter 10. Christ had and brought us our word. Amen. Glory to God. And it's being published first in our hearts and in our mind, but also in paper. Amen. And a small company is doing it. When I say company, I'm not talking about a company that does printing, and that we got a pretty small company that does that too. And the Lord bless. Amen. We pray for the people there because they are real good to us and work with us and everything in our publishing. And they got a rule over at the printers. And I've been doing business with them for over 40 years. I started in the late 60s and early 70s there. But you pay half down when you put the order in and give them the orders what to do for the publishing. So I was over there talking to them the other day, getting the cover for the book and all. And the lady's name, Ann, I know her real well. And I says, Ann, do you need for me to leave you a check? She said, no, just pay when the job's done. Amen. So we don't have to pay anything up front or anything. They trust us 100% because over the years we've never come short a penny on and always on time. Amen. God's word's being published. It's a small group and not only us that is involved with the actual writings and so on like that, but those that support it, see. They just as important, you that supports it and help get the word out. Amen. Great is the company. But he says the Lord gave the word, and if the Lord didn't give it, wouldn't do any good to do it, would it? Amen. How many believe the Lord gave the word on this Bible here? Amen. It goes back down even Moses to show you how the Lord gives the word. Amen. And the records, he said he wanted to be keeper of the king's paper. Well, see, when Moses came forth, that was maybe a couple of thousand years down the road from the Garden of Eden, from Adam. See, Adam and Eve there. But when Moses wrote about, he even wrote what God said, what the serpent said, what Eve said, what Adam said, and it happened a couple of thousand years back. Amen. That's when God gives the word. How many knows it? Amen. How did Moses know? How did he know that what the serpent done, what Adam done, what Eve done, and all these things? And how did he know what God said at the flood? Because Moses was way down the road after the flood. When he said there that, he said, God said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, so, and the thoughts of man's heart are on the evil continuously. This happened, maybe a thousand years or so. I don't know. I haven't got these. I guess Moses came about after Adam, maybe a few thousand years. I could go in here and get the dates and so on, but that's not the important part. Amen. God giving the word that happened way back there. Amen. And that was Ezekiel, I believe, and also Ezekiel and Isaiah, wasn't it? That went back there even way back further, telling when the devil was created and how he was perfect in all his ways. And all that, and wrote it down. That's Isaiah 14, I believe. And also, you get that in Ezekiel 28, I believe, or vice versa. And it tells what he said, what the devil said. I'm going to be like God. I'm going to ascend up into the heaven. I'm going to put my throne above the stars. You know, and all those things. And the Bible says he was perfect in all his ways in the days that he was created, see. Amen. That's the record. That's the word. Amen. And here at the end time, we got all that. And now we can look all the way out into the millennium and see the thousand years, what's happened, and go into eternity. Amen. Well, the wife of the Lamb inside the body of Christ, God put an office in there, apostolic office. Paul wrote about a ministry. He said there'll be first apostles, secondary prophets, and evangelists, and pastors, and teachers. However, that may not be the exact line. But first apostle, well, see, he puts this over into the body of Christ. Amen. So in the body of Christ, we got leadership. And God has trusted his papers. And that paper, that paper's not always natural paper. It's spiritual paper. Just like the little book. See, the mighty angel come down, he's spiritual, and the book that he brings down is spiritual. Hallelujah. And the prophecy that goes forth there is spiritual. And when the seven seals was opened, starting back in 1963, God sent Brother Brown back to Jeffersonville, Indiana, to open the seven seals, a lot of things he said weren't even written. Just, he opened the seventh seal, he opened the first seal, he opened this, and a certain thing happened. And then, seven angels came to him out in Arizona and said, go back east and open the seals up. And every night, that spiritual angel that was in charge of that, the papers of that age, watch this, that was in charge of the papers of that age, came and told him what that revelation of that seal was. Amen. Now it's become a record. It's written. We can read it in the seven seal book. If you haven't read that, you might be a great blessing to you. Amen. Then the first seal, second seal, and all. It shows there that the Antichrist spirit getting in. He came in as a form of the white horse rider, meaning he's so white, he looks like he tries to disguise himself as a real church. And he goes forth and he deceives as much as he can. Then he can't destroy it that way, so he gets on a red horse. A time of martyrdom and all that, you know. And there's a record kept. Well, The seals were open, and it's revealed God has some record. God made someone in that hour, like in the fifth church age, see, there in Germany. There was a man named Luther. He came forth, the just shall live by faith. Then in 1700s, here came another, John Wesley. There's that spiritual angel come to him and told John Wesley, it's not only necessary to repent or be born again in the sense they were talking there, but said you got to live a sanctified life. And that's still good today, see. We got to live a sanctified life. And John Wesley went forth and preached sanctification. See, he got the revelation from the angel that came down to him. He was a record keeper. Hallelujah, of the restoration of how the Word was revealed. Then in 1906, here came the second leg of the restoration of the first leg of the coming of Christ, the baptism of the Holy Ghost back again. People began to speak in tongues and so on. And then we come all the way up to Revelation chapter 10 in our day when Christ has come and made Himself known, not Jesus Himself, but Christ. Christ means anointing spirit. Came down and put one foot on land, one on sea. Mean there's two parts of the kind. There's the Holy Ghost. Amen. Came in that earth. Now here's Christ Himself. Amen. Both legs of His coming. I was working on the book of Revelation. This will be repetitious here. This was in the old 60s. The book was published first in 70, I believe. This was in the later 60s. I was reading in the book of Revelation, but I got to the 10th chapter. There was something there that says He put one foot on land and one on sea. And I knew what land mean and the earth on the scripture types there and sea. But I said, this must be a big man here. He puts one foot over here on land, one foot over here in the sea, and the other is on land. Or Robert, he read it, and he said, I saw a vision of Jesus 900 foot tall. You know? And said, but Or Robert went on and said, he said, kill me unless I raise $2 million. So one man in Florida, I think, a lot of people made fun of one man in Florida, I think he owned a racetrack for dogs. He said, I don't believe what Oral Robert says. But so I'm going to give him that $2 million anyway, or something of that effect. And that may not be all the detail. Amen. Well, see, he read that where he put one foot on sea and one on land. So that you'll hear now some people make reference to Oral Robert's 900-foot Jesus. Well, Jesus ain't 900 foot. He's a, you know why? When God made Adam and Eve, He made them in the image of what man, the man, and He said He made it in His own, in our image, in our likeness, what God wanted to, what God knew He would be. Then when Jesus came, He was the image of the indivisible God, and He wasn't 900 foot tall. Amen. When He was nailed on the cross there for your sin, He was just a normal man. And the Bible says there was no beauty about Him that we should desire Him. In other words, He probably wasn't the most beautiful man that walked, because he had a pretty rough life, because He took all of our sins upon. He became a bondservant and all these things for you and I. And as He went forth to do these things, the Pharisees said, when He was about 33 years old, they said, you're about 50 or not yet 50. They were putting Him in the age of 50 year bracket along in there. But He weren't, but He has come through a lot. But when He died on the cross, they didn't have to build a 900 foot cross to put Him on. No, He was just a normal man. But I was praying and reading, Lord, what did that mean? He put one foot on land, one on sea. Well, I knew, I read on a little, then I left my Bible open and went on to bed. And no sooner did I get in the bed and fall asleep. And I had this dream. I was walking down through a meadow of very green grass, just a little trail, and going up to an old farmhouse. And the farmhouse looked very old. And I said, I always like to see them old farmhouses and all that and so on. And I said, I'm going up to see how see, maybe go in that old farmhouse there. Well, I got almost up to the porch, which was beginning to break down there, almost up to the porch, and the door opened. And here came a man out, and he had a bullhorn in his hand. Now, to you that don't know what a bullhorn is, what I'm referring to, it was something like the police use when they're making an announcement, or people use it as a public address thing made in one piece, like a horn. He paid up to his mouth. He didn't speak to me. He paid up to his mouth. And he said real loud, in roaring words, "Remember the feet." Now, that's what I was studying, these 2 feet. What did it mean? And then I began to read what feet and how it was. And I read over there, "Where Abraham, wherever the soles of your feet put, you'll possess," and on, getting it. But as I began to think on that and read it, yes. That's his first coming. He put 1 foot on land, or 1 foot on sea, and 1 foot on land. And sea says mean multitude. That was the populated area over there when he came back. He came in the form of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And Paul said, "That is Christ in you, the hope of glory." But when we get to Revelation 10, amen, he don't come with 1 foot. He puts one on sea, and one on land. And that means the fullness of Christ. Amen. What he did over there and what he's doing up here, it's the same. And in 1963, when he came down to Brother Brown in spirit form, not Jesus. See, Jesus ain't been here since he left. Amen. But he came and as the angels went up, it made up the face of the Lord. Well, see, those angels, they worked with the Lord throughout the church ages. They were an extension of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because we see in Revelation chapter 5, the Lamb sitting there. And the Lamb has 7 eyes and 7 horns. And the Bible says, which are the 7 spirits sent forth in all the earth. See, in other words, they become part of Him. And when the angels came, they went back up, they made up the face of the Lord. It's written, it's pictured in some of the books that Brother Brown had. And all. See, the second leg of his coming. And this time he brings with him the little book. And then the 7 thunders uttered their voices as it go. I heard voice 7 thunder. But then the voice of authorization speaks from heaven. And he says to John, which were acting out, were being a type of the bride there, a voice said from heaven, "Go take the little book out of the angel's hand and eat it." Not while the thunder is being revealed. Amen. But right here in this time period we're living in right now. Amen. "I'll make you keepers of my papers," see. Amen. Them papers are brought down from heaven. They were kept reserved in heaven by the Lamb, sealed away in this the book of redemption, but now it's brought down to heaven to earth and revealed, and he gave it to the wife of the Lamb, see. Amen. And now he's set in the church, the apostolic office, the leadership, and in the body now, there is a leadership. He's made the body of Christ second, see, because Jesus sits on the throne. Next thing you see is the bride tree, the tree of life that produced her fruit. Amen. That's us in the body, baptized into the body of Christ by the fullness of Christ. And that's what your eyes are seeing today. Amen. These things are real. They're not just a figment of some man's imagination. Amen. It's not some man that fell off the turnip wagon last week. Amen. That don't know his way around in the Word. But amen, if he makes you keepers of the word, you got to know where's that. If the king won't know what do we do for this man that saved my life. Amen, then you go, the keepers of the word know exactly where to go to get that paper. And then there's another king there. He went and got his records and spread them out before him there when the king was about to invade. And the Babylonian king or someone, I'm not going to turn to it today because the message would be too long if we did that. but to spread them out and begin to read in the records. And that's what the Chronicles mean record. There's two books in the Bible, Chronicle, and they're not something that I read a lot in. In fact, I haven't read them in years because a lot of it in Numbers, so-and-so begot so-and-so and this king reigned for that. That's the neighbor, that's the man that came visit us here a while back, you know. And I asked him something. He's talking, asked me something on the word, and we got talking. And for about 3 hours, he got wound up. Now, King Hezekiah was this. He had a son. He went over here, and his son reigned over here, and he went and went about through about two books. And I thought, oh, Lord. So next time he came visit us, my wife said, don't mention the Bible to him. Amen. Because about 3 hours, I was just pouring it on without just coming up every once in a while, getting his breath, seemed like. Amen. But those chronicles, they are records. And if you take Ezekiel there, you start verse chapter 40 and on down through. It gives the chronicles records of how to build, how the temple be built and where the water gates at and all this and what the priest does. Well, those are things, they're there for someone, but not us. God made us the keepers of the paper that's important for us. Amen. He put apostolic leadership inside the body of Christ and made us all part of it, see. Amen. And great, the Lord gives the word, and great are those that publish it. Amen. And you're great because you're part of the greatest thing that God has done, amen, since Pentecost, even before. He's getting a wife for his son. Amen. And that is the body of Christ. By one spirit, you're baptized into one body. And inside the body, watch. Now, watch these keepers of the papers. Inside the body of Christ, we all speak the same thing. Inside the body of Christ, there's no division among us. Inside the body of Christ, we're no longer tossed to and fro. Amen. And inside the body of Christ, he puts the gifts in there. And then your thinking becomes different. Everything you do and say is for the edification of those in the body. Amen. And when you just want to say something good, do something good for them, and all that. Now, I'm not talking about condoning sin or anything of that nature, because I'm talking about what's inside the body. That's where the keepers of the paper. Amen. I believe it was the apostolic office, and God didn't make me keepers of all of who Isaiah's son or Ezekiel's or this, and I don't know if they had sons or not, but on these kings, how many children they had and who they married and what they done and who reigned here and how many years they reigned. They had so many children and so on like that. I don't know. I'm not keepers of those papers. But God's got a record of it. Amen. We ever want to know, see? If we ever want to know, we go to the Chronicle and pull it out, pull that certain thing out. But does it make that part of your life to study and find out those things? It means one big zero. How many knows it? The Bible says the letter of the word killeth. Amen. But it's the Spirit that maketh alive. Glory to God. So we are second. The body of Christ is second. Amen. We ride in the second chariot. Jesus got the first one, the king, see. And this goes back on the history of the chariots and all. Like Joseph down in Egypt. Now Joseph's wife was right next to Joseph, see. And she didn't have to take second place to the brethren. And the wife of the Lamb don't have to take second place to the brethren, the Jews. Hallelujah. How many knows it? Glory to God. He says, you shall ride in the second chariot, and I want you to keep my paper. Well, that you, yes, it represents apostolic leadership in the voice in this hour, but it includes the body, because God put the apostolic leadership, the apostle, in the body, and all that's in the body shares equally, amen, with the blessings of God of the body of Christ. Maybe not share equally of all the things where the word says this or that, the other, but I'm talking about the blessings of God. Amen. Do you love Jesus? Hallelujah. Don't you appreciate him? Glory to God. And what Paul wrote when he was here, he said, I'm standing here in Christ's stead. Amen. He was driving that second chariot. getting the wife a spouse. This is 2 Corinthians 11:2-3. Amen. I have espoused you to one husband that I might, and that I has to come down to this age. And he said that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, the married. And Paul got inspired, and here's where the inspiration come from. Paul got inspired, and he said, and you're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You're in the image. Amen. Praise God of Christ. Amen. You see, that word making, so the title of the message is Keepers of the King's Papers. That's what you are. That's what we are. That's the revelation of this word. When you know the revelation of this word, amen, you know where you're going. Amen. If you want to know something in here, many things Paul wrote and got in there, and then we got the books and all that, and we're publishing, and it's just as good and just as inspired as the things that Paul wrote. Amen. Amen. Hadn't been to heaven and back in that sense, but the heaven has come down. Amen. We don't have to go to heaven. Heaven come to us. Amen. That's what chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews. Chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews said, we've come to New Jerusalem. We've come to the spirit of just men made perfect. We've come to the souls, the spirits of them that's made perfect. And said, we've come to Jesus. We've come to an innumerable host of angels. That's what John saw when he went to heaven. Remember this in the fifth chapter, where you start fourth, fifth, and on through that revelation. He heard a number of angels, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. They sang with a loud voice. Thou art worthy, Lamb of God, to take the book and to open the book and to loose the seal. And why? Because thou hast redeemed us from all the things we've done. Redeemed us from all the people on there, because thou hast redeemed us unto who? God. Because thou hast redeemed us to God. Well, here's some papers. He says that the Lord gives the word. Now, how many know who give the word? No man gets any glory for giving the word. Amen. The Lord gave the word. The Lord gave the Ten Commandments. Amen. Moses broke them. But that didn't hinder. I love things like that. When what we do don't hinder God's working, does it? Amen. He does it anyway. Amen. Moses breaking them didn't. It just caused some heartaches there and so on. But God said, come on back up, Moses. He said, this time I'm not going to hew out the stones. And they didn't have much to cut to get the stones done. But I guess old Moses' hands was bleeding and all after taking, all they had to do was take one stone, chip, chip, chip around on the other until he made some more. And then all of a sudden the Spirit came, whoo! And there it was on there, see. This time he didn't break them. It was too hard to get these. I'm not going to, even if I do get mad, even if they do get upset, even if my anger do wax hot about the way they children of it, I'm not going to break these. Because I'd hate to have to break them again. Look at my hands, how bloody they are after doing that, he could have said. Praise the Lord. But the Lord gives a word, and many are those that publish it. Great are those that publish it. Amen. Great. It doesn't mean, like I say, a large number. It never have been a large number. When Jesus came, it was unknown where he was. He came in the temple at 12-year-old. And when he left, they didn't hear from him anymore around Jerusalem till he was about 30 years old. Amen. That's when he was baptized and anointed. The Holy Ghost came down. The Spirit of God came down as a dove. Amen. And then he went forth and be tempted of the devil 40 days and night. Sometime when God puts you in charge, you're tempted. Amen. How many knows it? Jesus was tempted of the devil 40 days and night, and the devil even said, cast yourself off this temple if you're the Son of God. Amen. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I was in a meeting one time. It's a large meeting. in a state that believes in handling serpents. And, of course, they read that scripture, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover and so forth, take up serpents and so on like that and all. But a lot of times, when Jesus said certain things, he laid it out there, and without it coming through the apostolic ministry, you can take it anyway. Amen. It has to be filtered through the apostolic ministry. If you just follow Jesus and John, those fellas, amen, I say, those men of God, then you can't even have two coats. If you got two coats, you got to give one to somebody else, and so on like that, yeah. And on and on like, but when it comes through the apostolic ministry, see, that's who we are. We are Gentiles. There was one man. Somebody say one man. One man in charge of getting the gospel to us. And Paul said, I am the apostle to the Gentiles. He said, God, he said, I am the minister of Jesus Christ to you Gentiles. That's why we don't, Paul said, what have you eaten, drank? Whatever set before you eat and drink, ask no question. Amen. Can you say amen? Huh? Yeah, now we're the wives. Amen. So this word, there are some keepers of the word that interpret it right. There are some keepers of the chronological of the word that can take you from Pentecost, from the time Christ come, all the way through and show you where we're at today. And there will be no doubt in your mind. Hallelujah. And there's a ministry inside the body of Christ. There's leadership. Nobody don't even have to tell you who. All you got to do is have the ear to hear. And when you hear, it'll be like the little eagle in the barnyard. When the mother eagle flew over and made a cry, that was the first time in its life it heard something that sound right. Amen. It began to flex those wings. And like Brother Billy Sawyer wrote that song, Fly, Little Eagle, Fly. And said, your wings are getting strong. Amen. I'll tell you, if your wings are not getting strong today, amen, you haven't been eating the right food. Amen. But here's the right food. The Spirit of God baptized us into the body. How does it do it? By a message. It brings our mind. See, I preached that message a few weeks back about Moses. They were baptized under Moses, see. Amen. And Paul there saying, God didn't send me to baptize with water, but God gave him a message to baptize you into the body of Christ. Amen. Said some of you will say, I was baptized in my name and so on. And said, look at you folks. Some of you say, I'm of this and I'm of that and I'm of this preacher and I'm of that preacher. He says, that's nonsense. Amen. No. Amen. He says, is Christ cut up in that many pieces, you know? Christ's not divided. In the body of Christ, there's one name, one voice. Amen. One word. And Paul, how many will agree, Paul was made keepers of the papers for the Gentile in his day. Amen. Can you believe it? Yeah. Amen. And then in this day, inside the body of Christ, there's someone made keepers of the paper. And God, this time God includes us all as part of this. There's no big I's and little U's. Even though there's apostolic leadership, if he wants to go get the paper, he'd probably use that office. Go get the paper, read it. But we all believe it and see the same thing, know the same thing. And there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Amen. Right? We're riding in the second chariot, and we're keepers of the king's papers. Amen. How many see the importance there where that king sent and got his papers? Go get some paper. Go get some of my thing. Read it to me. And when he heard something, hey, see, that was something that struck home with him. And when you begin to read the king's papers, you're the king's, there's going to be something strike home with you. You say, we got to do something about this. Amen. The king knew he had to go honor that man. And the story, that's the beginning of the story. There you read the whole thing. And it's real good. How that God took this little girl. Esther wasn't, her name was something else, but the king named her Esther. She became the bride. Woo! Out of all the others, 50 something people, I believe was, the maiden or however how many it was. She became, out of all them, he said, this is her right here. Amen. God is saying, you're it right here. This is her. Amen. She was made, she could go into the king's palace, and when the king come, if you went into the king without an invitation, that was dead. But he did have a scepter on his stick, you know. And if he might crack some people's head with it. Amen. But he didn't. Esther, if the king raised the scepter to you, that means you're welcome. So Esther walked in. She didn't know, but she had a petition to ask him because they was doing damage because of the things of Haman getting his people. The king walked in, and he raised the scepter. What can I do for you, oh beautiful king? Said, I'll do what you, queen, yeah. Thank you. the beautiful queen. And said, I'll give you any desire of your heart up to half of my kingdom. It's in there. She began to entertain him for a couple of days. And then she told the request. Amen. You need to entertain the Lord. Amen. How do you entertain him? In the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians, it says, sing unto the Lord, make melody in your heart to him, and all these things. Amen. How many does that today? Make melody to him, sing unto him. You're entertaining the Lord. You're saying, Lord, I'm so glad you are here. And Lord, I welcome you. I sing praises unto you. I lift up my voice unto your name. My husband, the king. God bless you today. Now, there's a lot on this, and I hadn't even read some scriptures I put down here, but I didn't read them. But the thing is, amen, this is it. Amen, we're made second. We're to ride in that second chariot. See, the one he's speaking to apostate in the days of Paul. See, they believed and went with it, and those that were really the engaged. Amen. But now he baptizes you into a message because Christ has come. Amen. And you're baptized into him. Now, I said this the other week, and I'll say it in closing out here real quick. Brother Gary Gentry was riding up the road, and he said sometimes he keep a box of my tapes there, and he just put one in the player or something. So he don't have to look at the name because you know every one of them is good, see. Smearing a little... what they call that? Some people say putting on the dog or something, but it could be, you know, I think he was sincere in what he was doing. But so I got that one where it says baptized with the Holy Ghost and into the body of Christ. He said, whoa, wait a minute. What's being saying here? And then he read, he said, that's the truth. Hey man, when you hear this, you've got to say, that's the truth. Even from a natural standpoint, God makes his paper so clear that it's hard to deny and don't it. But here he is. He brings back the little book. You're baptized into his body. And only in this last day have we begun to see that he says, by one spirit, you're baptized into the body, into the spirit. You're baptized into the spirit. You're baptized. A message does that as it did with Moses. Amen. So, riding in the second chariot of God. See, God, he's the king of everything because Jesus delivered the kingdom back to him, see. But he's still king of the earth even when he delivered it back, see. And on down through. But his wife, his wife rides in that. See, Pharaoh was the king of Egypt, you know. And then there was Joseph second to everything. Ruler over everything. Except, and made him above everything except the throne that he sat on. And there's nothing go above God. That's why he said all things are submitted to him, except God, him that brought, put the things under him. So, then, Joseph's wife, I tell you, the brothers didn't come in and kick her around. They'd got in trouble quick. Amen. So, we're the wife of the Lamb. The Jews there in Bible days, they might not particularly like the wife. And I say that because they said, Paul, you get on out here and preach to them Gentiles. Preach to them heathen. Well, guess what? God took the heathen and made them wife. And then the Jews put the Jews in that were ordained to be part of it too. God bless you today. Amen. Now, do you see this message, if you've been hearing this message and getting it and reading the book, hearing the tape, and knowing what has gone on for over 50 years, then you'll know there's somebody been keeping the King's paper. And they've been doing good with them. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we pray, God, that you'll take these words today. And, Lord, that you will use them for your glory. And, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you made us part of it. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for each one, Lord, that you baptized into the body. They are part of this. They're part of the keepers. Lord, you gave the word, and great is the company of us that publishes it. Amen. Whether we actually take the pen in our hand or whether we do it in some other way, Lord, we're all one, and the rewards are the same. Amen. We don't want a reward, Lord. We're not like Peter, the brother. When he was following Jesus, he said, Lord, look here. We've left everything and followed you. Now what are you going to do for us? That's a brother talking. The bride, she don't want to know what you going to do. Lord, we don't want to know what you're going to do for us. We just want to know, I'm at your service. I'm here to do thy bidding without asking for what you're going to do for us. We're not the brothers, we're the wife. Lord, I pray you bless this word as it goes forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you today.